with your kids, okay? Amen? All right, I'm going to invite Matt Erbaugh to come up. Matt, we had a special treat. Matt is in Brittany, or some of our elder team, and sweet two girls, Lily and Rosie. And Matt is a principal over at Sachs Elementary, and we're just so grateful for Matt. So let's thank him. Let's give it up and show him the love.
Thank you, Brian. As he said, my name is Matt Erbaugh, and a lot of you know my wife, Brittany. We do have Lily and Rosie. Lily's a six-year-old. Rosie is three. She's going to be four this month. And so we've really appreciated this parenting series and the videos, and we've learned a lot. I've got one thing I think is missing. I mean, it's great to hear about, you know, get your children in the Word of God and teach them to hear God and go after the heart. But what I want to know is, how do I get my kids ready for church on time? Like that, somebody tell me. It takes forever. I was reading, some of you guys know me, maybe know the Babylon Bee, and it's a fake news site, and I saw this amazing family gets ready for church in just 14 hours. And that's really funny because it's close to true. It says, if you read the article, 7 hours alone just looking for their shoes. And can I get an amen on that one? Some of you guys know. So just to be a little honest, sometimes we usually come to first service. If you see us at second service, it's not because we chose to go to second service. It's because we're still trying to reach 9 o'clock, but it just so happened that we showed up for the 11. So now you know a little bit of an inside baseball for the Erbaugh family there. So we are starting a new series today. And I think this is a great one after a parenting series is a walking in the Spirit. Because if you want to be an impactful parent, you better be walking in the Spirit. And it may take us a long time to get here. But I was thinking the other day, I was like, why do I go to church? Like, if I'm honest, there are lots of reasons that we as a family show up on Sunday. I want my family to be raised in an environment like this. That's one of the reasons. I want to see you guys. You're the people that I love. You're the people that I do life with. You're my friends and my family. And so I want to catch up with you. There's so much going on at Crossbridge. I love it when we do the celebration Sundays, because even though I can only be a small part of what Crossbridge does, I love to hear about what you guys are doing and the way the Lord's moving. Maybe I come sometimes because that's what I've always done. I grew up going to church. I know the Word says to not neglect it, and so sometimes it's just a matter of obedience. But I bet if we could kind of push through all of those reasons, we would find at the kind of the core of who we are, the real reason that you're here this morning. And that is because you have a yearning in your soul. There's a hunger in your spirit to hear about God and to encounter God. All right, you may not even know it's there. You may think, oh, I don't know if that's really the reason I came this morning. But again, if we push through all that, there's a part of you that really wants that. To connect and encounter the living God in a real, impactful way, so that when you leave this building, you are a changed person. And maybe when you hear walking in the Spirit, that may come with a lot of baggage for you. Maybe you went to a church where the Holy Spirit was a thing, and some of the people in that church, maybe they didn't handle that super well. And you've got some damage as a result. There's some wounding there. And I'm really sorry that happened, and we don't want to do that here. We want to handle this in a way that's honoring to you. And maybe you've pursued it and just never felt like it's actually happened. And so it's kind of like, well, maybe that's for the other people. And so there's some disappointments you're dealing with. Or I don't know what it is, but again, if we can push past your defenses, push past your fears, push past your disappointments, there's still that core that says, I want to meet with God. I want to encounter him in a way that fundamentally changes me. Brian said that I work at a school at elementary school, and we've got this part of our playground, this blacktop where the kids can play four square, and they can shoot hoops and do all those things, jump rope there, and then the blacktop ends, and then there's dirt and grass, and it goes on to the rest of the playground after that. Well, because of all the rain we've been having, the water just funnels down right where blacktop and dirt meet. And so if you went out there right now, there's a big canyon where there was not a canyon before because the water has flown through and just washes away all that gravel, all that dirt. So we've got to put cones up around it because we don't want the kids to trip in that area because they're used to it being flat and it's not anymore. They can't play basketball right now because if they jump up, they're going to land on that uneven ground. And so I've got these huge bags of gravel and caliche, and we're going to just wait till it stops raining and we're going to flatten it out again. Until the next storm, right? And then it's gonna, the same thing's gonna happen. Because my problem is, it's the little ditch right there right now, but the real problem is the landscape sort of uphill. So stay with me here. This landscape uphill is gonna keep funneling water this direction. And sometimes at church, I think we deal with the little ditch right before us, right? We come in, and when I say encounter with God, we think just like a little thing, a couple of little tips, or, you know, and we're gonna put some new gravel down. But then the next storm of life hits, washes it all away, and we gotta start over again. After a while, that's draining. But what can we do? Because it's the landscape. I can't change landscape at school. I mean, I could, but it would take a ton of money and resources, and we just can't do that. And so when I look at the landscape of my life, when we talk about walking in the Spirit, Paul talks about it and says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Unfortunately for me, I've got 41 years of landscaping, of walking in the flesh, right? That's what I know. And I want to be a man that walks in the Spirit. And that's a completely different way of doing things. And if I deal with just the surface stuff, I can throw some things on top of that. But what happens? The next storm of life hits, washes it away. And if we're not careful, and if we don't turn to God and that core hunger of our life that says, I really want to encounter God in such a way that it changes the landscape sort of upstream. Because if we don't allow God to do that, there will come a time in our life, I mean, we have all sorts of terms, midlife crisis or whatever you want to call it, where we'll try to do that ourselves. And it's not going to be pretty when we try it. It's going to end up even worse. But we'll try to change that landscape at some point. And so what I want to do here today is, before we get to that point, I want to build your faith for an encounter with God this morning. Not because my words are going to be super eloquent. They're not going to be. I hope I speak good this morning. But because I know that as much as I want it for myself, that the Lord wants it more. You hear that? The Lord wants to change the upstream, the uphill, the landscape. He wants the encounter even more than you want the encounter. So build your expectation this morning. I want to go to look at what an encounter with God looks like. So if you have your Bible, you want to turn to the Gospel of John. We'll have the verses up on the screen as well. I'm going to be in chapter 4. When I was praying about this message and the Lord kind of led me to this story, it's one of those stories that, you know, you've heard so many times, and I was even kind of like, oh, Lord, I don't know if I want to, this story is kind of played out, isn't it? And the Lord just very graciously says, there may be a little bit more there, Matt, than you thought. I'm so glad he did. So if you want to go to that first verse here, let me just catch you up in the story first. So Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and he's going from the region of Judea, and he's going to Galilee. And to get from Judea to Galilee, you got to pass through a land called Samaria. Now, we've talked about this before in church, and so you may know this already, but the Samaritans were a people that didn't get along very well with the Jewish people, which Jesus and his disciples were Jewish. There's a lot of conflict between the groups, a lot of prejudice between the groups. They just didn't get along. And so as they're traveling through Samaria, they stop in the middle of the day. It's hot. They stop at a well. And Jesus stays at the well. It says he's tired. It says he's weary from his travels. And the disciples go on ahead into the town to go get some food, and they're going to bring it back to Jesus. And so Jesus is at this well, and usually at this time of day, he would be alone, because most people are going to go do the hard work of getting the water out of the well either in the morning or in the evening or both when it's a little bit cooler. But there happens to be one lady, and since this is Samaria, she's a Samaritan woman, she's at the well. Jesus has no way of getting water out of this well, and so he asks her, please give me a drink. And this astonishes the woman, because Jews and Samaritans don't get along. Jews don't even talk to Samaritans. And here we have what's obviously a Jewish person talking to her, and she's a little bit stunned by this. And she basically says, why are you talking to me? You're Jewish. And Jesus says, you think that's astonishing? That I would break sort of the tradition and the cultural codes of how we interact. You think that's amazing? Let me tell you something that's amazing. He answers her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked and he would have given you living water. You can almost see like Jesus' excitement. I tell you, oh man, I want to tell you something really strange. Not that I'm talking to you, but do you know who I am? Do you know what I can give you right now? I'm telling you, if you wouldn't have known who you were talking to and this special gift that I have for you, you would have basically just ignored my question and started asking me a question. Give me water. Give me living water. God has lots of gifts that he loves to give his people. But let me tell you, there's this one thing that I think that the Lord delights. He's particularly excited. And it's the thing he's talking about here. It's the living water. I'm going to talk about what that is in just a second. But sometimes we can get to the point where I've heard this a lot from people. You know, we don't like to ask God for things. Here Jesus is presuming, if you know I've got this gift, you should be asking. Sometimes you run into the mindset, and I've had it myself, where I'm like, man, I'm just so grateful that God has saved me. Because I'm so unworthy and he's made me a child, I really feel kind of bad asking for anything else. Right? It feels like I'm come across as I'm spoiled or I'm not appreciative. So I'm just gonna sit back and not ask for anything else because he's already done so much for me. Let me tell you, that is an unbiblical way of thinking. Because Jesus is saying, oh, come on, I really do want you to ask me for more. In fact, we see him, I mean, just note some of the language there that, I want you to ask. Like a good daddy, he wants us to ask for gifts. In fact, if you go find out a little bit more of what's that one thing that God is so excited to give us, let's go to the next verse here. We'll pause on the story for a second, and we're going to go to, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's teaching them how to pray, and then he says, you need to be asking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give him good things or give good things to those who ask him? The Lord wants you to ask for things. And that's not out of a spirit of selfishness. That's out of an understanding, not of who you are, it's an understanding of who God is, the generous gift giver. So ask me. But again, there's one thing I think that the Lord really wants us, above all else, to really ask him for. And if we go to the next verse, this is from almost, it's just like Jesus repeated his sermon from the Sermon on the Plain instead of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, gives us a little more detail. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts for your children, same thing he was saying last time, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God has lots of good gifts, but there's one that excites him to give, I think, more than any other. And that's the gift that he alone can give, the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think there's some level a lot of us would understand. Yeah, I know that he wants to give me the Holy Spirit, but sometimes, as we'll see, as we go back to the story of the woman at the well, there is some changes on how we need to approach this gift and understand why God wants to give it. There's more to this gift than we can imagine. So we go back to the verse. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift, now we know what that is. If you knew that I had the Holy Spirit, you'd be asking me for the Holy Spirit. One of the things I think that we get wrong with the idea of the Holy Spirit, I mean, again, let's just use the example of the parenting series that we've just come off of. You would be asking in the wrong way if you said, Lord, my parenting level is here. I know it needs to be up here more. So will you just like sprinkle in a dash of that Holy Spirit? Right? Just give me a little bit to sort of spice up what I'm already doing. We would be, and it's not just for parenting. There's hardly an issue. I've said it before from this stage. I cannot think of an issue that I face during the day that the answer isn't predominantly, if not exclusively, Lord, I need more of your Spirit. And it's not because, hey, I think my behavior is pretty good, but it could be better. So Lord, just a little bit, just give me some more of that Holy Spirit. I think we view it like, Lord, come into my house, clean up a little bit in that corner, maybe a fresh coat of paint, spruce it up a little bit. And when God says, I want to give you the Holy Spirit, he's thinking of it completely different. He's saying, I don't want to spruce up your house. I want to give you a completely different house, right? We're not even talking about some new furniture, some new remodeling. I'm talking about bulldoze that old stuff and let me give you something brand new. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't want to mix with your righteousness. He cannot stand to mix with your righteousness. It must be his 100%, and he will brook no mixture. And so he says, repent of everything. Repent of the bad stuff. Repent of the stuff that you've done that even looks pretty good, that are of your own works. Put it all aside and let me give you a good gift. Because you got something in your hand right now. Guess what? The Holy Spirit's not small enough to add on. He's way too big. And so, Lord, we're going to have to empty our hands and open up our palms and say, Lord, give me this good gift. Because I'm not talking about throwing some caliche and gravel into a hole here. I'm talking about changing the uphill landscape. And so the woman here is hearing, hey, I've got something really good for you. It's called living water. And here's kind of the way she interprets it. This is what we do a lot. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. Where's your bucket? Well, it's deep. Where do you get that living water? So she's thinking, you want to give me some sort of special water. It must be down in that same old well where all the other water is. And God says, you're looking in the wrong place. But this is what we do. I want to be a good parent, but I want to be a living water parent. And so I'm going to try a little bit harder. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's our effort. He wants to fundamentally change things. You know, when he describes it in the Bible, he describes what he's going for as a new creation. He describes it as you need to be born again. These are not exaggerated terms of what we're going for when we go for the Holy Spirit. So when I say I want to encourage you, and I know the desire of your heart is to meet with the Lord, we're talking about meet with the Lord. In a way that resets things in a different kind of way. It changes everything. So Jesus will let her know in his loving way, hey, let me alter your lens here a little bit. That water in that well, you can drink from that, but everyone who drinks of this water is going to be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So we know that when we're saved, we've got the Holy Spirit. But this is where the series comes in. There's a difference, I think, in having the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. It's the difference here between I can give you the water, but are you letting it become something more? Are you giving it enough room to become the spring that wells up within you? Ask yourself that question. So go to the next slide. So let's look at how Paul describes things, because you may not know, well, how do I know if I'm doing that? I know I'm saved. I've got the Holy Spirit. How do I know if I am letting it well up into this spring? And so Paul tells us here, he says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then he starts to go into, this is what, when you're walking in the flesh, this is kind of what it looks like. And he goes through, you know, jealousy, and he lists a lot of the sins. Some of them are a little bizarre, like sorcery. And so I can read that sometimes and go, you know what? I think I'm pretty good. I haven't done sorcery in I don't know how long. And so check that box. But what I like to do is I like to go, well, let's show you what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. And so we go to that next slide. And you guys know, probably know the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what I like to do is I like to take that list, because you know some of you are like, hey, I'm pretty good at that one. I could maybe use a little work in that one. But I like to look at the opposite, to see if I'm really walking in the Spirit, to see if this Spirit that I have been given has been given permission in me to well up into something so much more. Like patience. I am by nature a pretty patient kind of guy, but he's not talking about that. He's talking about when it's the end of a long, hard week, and all I want to do is just lay down and rest. And then that's the time where the kids are having trouble going to sleep. Whenever it's that real, those situations where you're just done. Am I a patient man when it's supernatural to be patient? I can be kind to people. Maybe it's that one person, yeah, I'm a kind guy, except for that one guy at work. Like, you wouldn't expect me to be kind to them. They're so, that person. Can you exhibit the love of the Lord in a situation where you have been wronged deeply? And so we see some things here that we might say, well, there's some room to do. There's some room here for the Lord. But what I want to stress, because this is what I kind of do wrong here too, and we'll see the lady at the well kind of fall into this as well, is we want the Holy Spirit to well up in us, but the goal is not this, okay? That's not the goal. A lot of times we say, okay, I'm going to look at this. This is my new to-do list. I'm going to try to be real peaceful. I'm going to try to be real patient. I'm going to try to be real kind. And when I do those things, ta-da, I'm walking in the Spirit. And it's the other way around. When you are walking in the Spirit, that's your goal. You're going to know it because this is going to be the natural fruit that grows out of it. Otherwise, we're back at the well, we're getting out our bucket, and I'm gonna plunge it down into the well of my soul and say, I gotta go deep because I need to find some patience that's gotta be way down there deep right now because I'm exhausted. And every time I pull it up, guess what? It is empty. The fruit of the Spirit is the miraculous life of Jesus, who was love and joyful and peaceful and patient, and that is supernaturally in us by the Holy Spirit. You can keep going to that well and digging as deep as you want and really straining to have self-control, but that's not what we're going for. So it's not that we look at that as an indicator that something else is wrong. And what's wrong is my intimacy and walking with the Spirit. Because what is walking with somebody other than relationship? Right, we got to agree to walk together. We're probably going to be talking as we walk. We got to agree on the direction we're going. We got to agree on the pace with which we are moving. Walking means intimacy and fellowship. I remember one of the first dates I took my wife on is we went for a walk. And I used to go for walks all the time in this one neighborhood. I loved going down there. And I was walking. Like, it wasn't a stroll. I was moving. And so when I invited Brittany to go with me, she gets out of her car, and she's wearing these sandals. And I'm geared up, ready to go on my walk. And so I'm like, oh, she's thinking stroll. Now, I could have just kept going, right? I could have gone my normal speed and just like, hey, you chose sandals. Try to keep up. There wouldn't have been another date if that had happened. All right, that was, I think, our second date. There would have been no third date if I would have just said, this is my pace, deal with it, right? We had to come into agreement. This is how fast we're walking now. This is the direction we're gonna go. Walking with the Spirit is so much more than a sprinkle of good behavior and adding a dash of good parenting to it. Walking in the Spirit speaks to intimacy. You don't have an anger problem. You don't have a lust problem. You don't have a comparison problem. You have an intimacy problem. And because you're not dealing with first things first, it turns into those other things. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so the woman at the well, let's go back to her. She's starting to catch on. Hey, this living water thing sounds pretty good. But she's still in that mindset of, it'll make my life a little easier. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water. That's the asking, but we can see she's a little bit wrong in why she wants it. So that I will not be thirsty anymore. And I don't have to come here to draw water. It's a pain to have to grab this bucket, walk all the way outside of town in the middle of the day and keep pulling up water. So if you could eliminate that, think about how much easier my life would be. And so Jesus says, okay, go call your husband. Tell him to come here. A little awkward. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, you know, you're right. You've had 5 husbands, and the man that you're currently living with, that's not even your husband. You're right in what you said. And people wonder, why did Jesus bring that up now? I don't think it's something good going here. But it's not good if she's thinking living water makes my life a little bit more comfortable, a little bit easier. When she's got a problem so fundamental, there's that yearning in her heart to know and be intimate with God that she's trying to fill it with anything she can. She's going through man after man after man, and it's not because she has an adultery or a lust problem. It's because she has an intimacy problem, and she's never had it filled. And so if she would have just said, hey, give me some of that Holy Spirit so I'm a little more self-controlled now. I'm a little more loving to whatever man I'm with, so I'll stick with him. And she just says, I'm not going to let you throw dirt on this pile. Because when the storm comes, the next storm comes, it's going to wash away. And so I'm going to call you to something deeper. Go call your husband. I don't have one. That's right. You need something more. I'm addressing the deep fundamental issue that's in all of our hearts right now. The reason that we've come to church is so that we can encounter God. So we can be fundamentally changed. Not so that you can be more patient and you can be more loving. It's so that you are so walking with the Spirit that the natural outflow of that is, I am patient. I am loving. I am so happy with Jesus, and he is so happy with me. And we talk about that all day long. So when it gets stressful and it gets hard, that's okay. I got patience to spare because my vine is connected to the branch that has a well that patience runs all the way deep. You don't have to lower it down. It's right there. In fact, it's a spring. You don't have to even do it. You just stand in the spring of it. That's what I want. That's what I need. I'm not up here as a man that's saying, I have mastered this by any stretch of the imagination, but it is the hunger of my soul. But here's what I don't want us to be. When we look at lists like fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. And when you're in here, you know that if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit. And some of that fruit is coming through a little bit. But you're not dealing with that core fundamental issue. This is what happens. We're kind of in this in-between zone. I feel like that's where I'm at a lot of times. I feel like I'm in the in-between zone. A little bit of walking with the Lord, a little bit of the walking in the flesh. At the end of the Bible, as the Lord is addressing different churches. He addresses the church in Laodicea, and he says this: I know your works. You're an in-between kind of church. You're not hot, you're not cold. Oh, would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, that's a hard word, all right? Whenever I hear whenever the Bible's really encountering me and it's a hard word, I will wiggle to get out from under that like you wouldn't believe. Like even now, I'm like, that sounds like somebody else. But here's the test I use for myself. Am I lukewarm? Do I really think that I've got enough going on? And the Lord's saying, oh, you're naked. Let me tell you, first of all, there's nothing wrong with being wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. In fact, the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The problem is not that the Lord knows that the well is empty. Our problem is when we say, no, if I keep going deeper, there's going to be something. That's our problem. But you're blessed when you're poor in spirit because you say, there's nothing down there. I could dig all day. Let me turn to the living waters instead. Then you'll be blessed. But here's what I do. When I look at that, I say, Matt, do you think that you really do have it together? Matt, when's the last time you asked for the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you prayed to be filled? When's the last time you fellowshipped with the Holy Spirit? If you can't remember, or let me tell you, this is not a one and done deal. The Lord's been talking about food and water and things like that because that's what he wants to compare it to. How many times do you eat a day? And the Lord says, eat my flesh. How many times do you drink today? And he says, get some living water. This isn't a once a week. This isn't just even once in the morning. If you're wondering why you're spiritually weak, it's because you're not spiritually sustaining yourself. We are on like a permanent spiritual fast. The Lord wants us to fast, but he wants to fast from the physical. He's not saying spiritually fast, but that's the way we live our life. And then it becomes the norm for us. And then we don't even realize it's weakness. But he is saying, oh, people, he doesn't say this as condemnation. He says it in the greatest amount of love. And this next verse, if you don't love Jesus, after reading this, I don't know what I can do for you, but he says, you're supposed to be asking me. You're supposed to be knocking at the door so that I can fill you. But you haven't been doing that. Matt, you haven't been doing it. So behold, I stand at the door now. So gracious. All you got to do is hear it. And I'm going to open the door and I'll come in and we can fellowship. We'll eat together. And so I would submit that to you this morning. If you feel lukewarm, maybe you're like the woman at the well and this is all new to you. And you need to ask, Lord, give me this living water. Fundamentally change the landscape today. I want to encounter you, God. But if you've got the Holy Spirit and you haven't been saying, Lord, I need more. I need a filling. I need a fresh filling today. I have the band come on up. The Lord is knocking. He's at the door knocking. Do you have ears to hear? But there's still some action. If anyone hears my voice, you got to open the door. He's not going to force his way in. The Holy Spirit, that's not how he rolls. And so I want us to just, let's pray for a moment. Go ahead and bow your heads. Oh God, I confess, Lord, that I haven't asked for fresh fillings like I should. Lord, I confess that I walk around and the living off the deposit of last year. And I confess that I am dealing with ditches that are right in front of me, Lord God, when you are saying the problem is not the ditch. The problem is fellowship and intimacy with me. God, would you give us that, Lord God? We are here at church for a lot of reasons, but the fundamental reason of encountering you and knowing you, God, would you show up with your in-breaking today? God, if I open the door, will you really come in? Lord, I don't want to be one that just reluctantly opens the door. I want to fling wide the door to my heart. I want to lay out the red carpet and say, come in. Yes, you are welcome. You are more than welcome. You're the longing of my heart. You're the desire of my soul. I may try to fill it with all sorts of junk out there. Like Jeremiah says, I go to broken cistern after broken cistern when the well is flowing, God. Would you teach me to drink from that well? Would you show me through this series, Lord God, what I can do so that I walk with you, so that I don't put my running shoes on when you want to stroll, or so I don't put my strolling shoes on when you want to run, God. I want to stay right with you. I want to hear your voice when you say go to the left or go to the right. I'm going to the left or I'm going to the right, God. Because I want to fellowship with you, because you're what I need. You're what I hunger for. Lord, you're the desire of our hearts, God. Come fill us up in a new way today. At the end of the story, the Lord says to her, the Father is seeking worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And so what a better way to end this time that we have together here. I'm just going to ask you to go ahead and stand up. We're going to worship him and ask the Lord. I don't want to just sing words to a song. Lord, would you show me now how to worship you in spirit, Lord? Would you show me now how to worship you in truth? And if you feel like you need to have somebody come around you and to pray for you, I'm going to ask some of the members of our prayer team. If you're a part of our new prophetic ministry, if you want to get a place on the wall, life group leader, we've got people that want to agree with the good desire that the Lord is birthing in your heart right now. Let me tell you, it's the Lord. You cannot hunger for the Lord apart from the Lord birthing that hunger in you. And so whenever I feel that hunger for more, I know it's the season for asking, because if he wouldn't have given me that hunger to begin with, I would never think to ask. But if he wants to give it to me, he's gonna start at that place. So if you feel that, oh, I feel it, Lord, I feel that want, say, thank you, Lord, that you put that want in me. And now I'm gonna open the door, and that may look like going up to one of these people here and saying, I want that. If it's the first time you've even heard about living water, if it's the first time you've heard about the great gift that the Lord has for us, you can come up to one of these people and tell them that, and they will help you to walk. And so, Lord, again, I just pray that over this people, that we would worship in spirit and in truth, God, even now, in Jesus' name. You guys can come get prayed for. Let's worship together.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Yeah. There's nothing.